What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 150, the big 150 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined. It is an honor and a pleasure to welcome him for the 150th time. We're getting old. The king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, life is great. We are right in the heart of free agency moves for League of Legends. For those of you who play the game itself, the season just ended. There's just a whole bunch of excitement going on as far as the market goes right now.
And if our listeners were following along on Twitter, Joey, they would have known you've reached a pretty hefty plateau. I'm not going to say plateau because that means you've leveled off, but you've reached a new rank on the skill ladder, if you will, for League of Legends. Joey, what rank did you finish your League of Legends season at?
I did. Did I post that somewhere?
I don't know. Did you? I was just trying to find a segment into the social media stuff.
I was like, I don't remember posting that. I hit gold this year, guys. Gold 4. So barely into gold, but we slid in right at the end.
Congratulations, sir. That's awesome. I am still with my fellow brethren in Plastic 8. mainly because I did not take it as seriously as Joseph did. So good for you, Joey. But what I was trying to do there, Joey, is called create a segue because I'm trying to plug the social media for the podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now that you kind of ruined the illusion there. Nation, make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook if you want. That's at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And why not give your favorite hosts, hi, that's us, a follow on Twitter as well. You can find Joey at Courtside King, myself at Fiasco. If you have the honor of watching us live on Twitch, we are recording a little bit later than normal. First, welcome to the stream. It's awesome to have you here. And if you are watching still, those mugshots you're looking at, yeah, right below that, you'll see your names there. That's our handles on social media as well. Podcast listeners down the road, show notes will be your location for those usernames as well. But Nation, don't stop there. We have one more favor to ask you, and that's to leave an amazing review on your podcatcher of choice. The Level Up Podcast is now available on Spotify, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Reviews do go a long way in helping grow the show and reach new listeners. So when you do have a moment, we would be very appreciative if you take time out of your day to leave us an awesome review. 5 stars is great. 4 stars will be accept. You know, that's fine too. 3 stars, don't even bother coming back. No. But Nation, Joey, you mentioned it, free agency. I believe that's what's dominating this episode, correct?
Yeah, free agency, 100%. It's been dominating the news in esports right now. It's going to dominate Level Up as well.
All right, so we are being dominated by roster moves. We've used the term roster mania at least 8 times, it feels like. It's probably closer to 3 or 4. I like to over-exaggerate sometimes. Joey, so we're going to be talking a lot about new roster moves in the free agency, which means we're going to need a little assistance. And, of course, I'm talking about the drink of choice, that time-honored tradition passed down from generation to generation, starting with the very first generation at episode 1, leading all the way up to the 150th generation, because each episode feels like a generation. That doesn't even make any sense, Joey. We're going to roll with it. What is your beverage for the 150th time?
This might have been my first one as well. Someone will have to fact-check that. But I'm going Yingling tonight. I know it's been a few nights.
Your first one.
Episode 1, you goofball.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
I had something else planned when we originally planned for the show on Monday. I was going to drink a Devil's Backbone 1 Foot in the Black smoked black IPA.
1 Foot in the Black. That's
so I drank it that night, and I'm kind of glad we didn't do it for the live podcast, because it would have went down as things Joey should not drink before a podcast, because it practically feels like I just smoked a cigar. Because you just get that smoky taste going on in the throat.
Oh,
and
my.
Yeah, it was getting a little rough. There was some coughing and some, yeah. Mm.
So where would that rank with your milk sugar experiment?
Oh, see, the milk sugar made my mouth like more wet. I feel like this one made my throat more like, I don't even know. It's smoky. It was smoky. Smoky the bear.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know what? Segways are not going to be my thing tonight. Joey, I just want to hop right into free agency. I don't want to waste any more time. Lead us away.
Do you have
sir.
A drink what? With you or not?
Oh, I do. So I, to be completely honest, I had an awful day. I did not even have a chance to grab a beverage before the show started. I am that scattered brain at the moment. So time honored tradition, Coca-Cola Zero. Hello. There's no alcohol. I am pulling a Joey. I apologize.
As he drinks a Yingling over here.
As he drinks a Yingling. You know, he's the one that actually has alcohol this show, not me. It's, you know what? Let's see. No honey. Yes, I forgot the honey also, Joey. I did not put honey in my Coke Zero or my tea. So fun fact, Scorsel in the chat just brought that up. Scorsel, this is for you, obviously, because you know the inside joke real quick. I did have honey in my tea at work today, and I told my coworker the story about that from that concert. She is now very scared. So we'll go and leave it at that. If you guys want to know the inside joke of that story, Highly Suspect was a band that we saw this past weekend, so it was kind of fun. I'll leave it there. You can follow that on social media. Joey, we're not here to talk music, though. We're here to talk free agency. You have alcohol. I have soda. You're leading the way, then. Let's jump right into gaming and esports and free agency news.
John, we might not be listening to music, but you might want to have those little violins going for some of these teams because they are losing players left and right. Which team do you want to start with? I'm thinking something in NA.
Just not Cloud9. I don't want to start with Cloud9.
Let's start with TSM then. Let's scroll our way on over there. So if everything sounds like it's going to stick the way it is, Bjergsen will be returning. They did make a little bit of a support switch, according to Jacob Wolf, and I think it's been officially announced at this point. So you do have Biofrost coming in with Smoothie going the opposite way to CLG. The jungle position is wide open, so we can talk a bit about that. They had Grig and Acadian there last year. I don't believe either one has been re-signed, and Spickle was there as well. As far as AD carries, Ven is gone, Kabe is in. So we have quite a few changes on the board. The big thing here, so when you look at TSM last year, John, I think their biggest struggle was they just were not on board as a team. I think part of that goes back to coaching. Part of it in the past has been that people say Bjergsen is a bit too pushy as a shot caller. I think there's a whole bunch of different things you can look at. They obviously underperformed overall. To me, the big difference is the jungle. I'm not the biggest fan of Broken Blade. I think they can improve in top lane as well. But when you look at the jungle matchup, TSM is a team that needs a supportive jungle. They need someone like an X-Smithy. They need someone like a Broxah. I don't feel like the jungles they've had have really gotten that done. They've played too heavy carry jungle style. They've played where that jungle wants to get ahead, where that jungle can play these individual carry champions. Bjergsen just wants someone to support him. Whether he'll say it or not, whether the team decides to play that way or not, he wants someone that's going to play around mid lane in particular. They have not had that in past seasons, and they've suffered because of it. So to me, at least to my knowledge, they haven't signed anyone. I'm looking at the jungle position here, and who do you think they should look toward?
Anybody, really. I want to agree with you on their top lane also. Broken Blade had his moments where he looked great, but the problem is they don't really outweigh those moments he looked like a below-average top laner. And you can't have that. When you take a look at TSM's roster, and if everything from the Wolfman himself, Jacob Wolf, is correct, as things are still coming out and being announced, your bot lane in Kabe and Biofrost has grown in leaps and bounds over what he was when he was originally with TSM. He was good when he was with TSM originally, the first go around. Now that he's back with TSM, really excited to see what he can do there with a great AD carry as well. Bjergsen, you know, you can still make that argument, easily top three mid laner in the LCS. But there are some question marks in regards to his leadership, like you said, Joey. But I agree with you. I do think jungle is going to be their biggest question mark. And for a while, you know, during the ESPN free agency show, the biggest question was, where is X-Smithy going to go? Is he going to re-sign with Team Liquid? You know, a lot of people had the fear that he'd go to TSM, which I feel TSM would have been a great fit for him with the talent they have on that roster. I still feel like that they would need to make a move in top lane. But I also agree with you, Joey, that coaching was part of the issue for TSM last year as well. So the TSM's got a lot that they need to consider. So with jungle, I really don't know who I'd want to stick in there just because, like you said, it's so unique what they're looking for because they need someone that complements Bjergsen. They need a specific play style, and I really don't see any junglers out there that are going to be that support style that Bjergsen needs going forward for TSM. That's going to almost mesh right away. And, you know, we joke all the time saying spring split's kind of like the preseason a little bit. But, I mean, that's what's going to happen with TSM again. Like, historically, their spring split is not that good. They're still trying to figure each other out, find that team chemistry. If this roster holds up, that is a very weak top lane and jungle. They need to do something still in this offseason before spring split hits.
And I think they're going to stick with Broken Blade in the top lane. I think he is... Let me just double check his contract, but I believe it goes on 2021. So they have signed him long term. I doubt that changes. One of the issues is he's a non-resident. I don't think Broken Blade is a player that you really waste an import slot on in this case. Like, the guy's talented, don't get me wrong, but if I'm going to use an import slot, I think I look a little bit more towards someone who might be a bit more mechanically driven. Broken Blade, obviously, again, a good player. He's talented. I just think for a team the caliber of TSM, or the caliber that TSM wants to be, you have to make a switch up there. As far as the jungles go, I believe neither one has been signed. I think Acadian and Grig are still open at the moment. I think you make a change here, though. Neither one has really played to the style TSM has wanted in the past. I think Xsmithie would have been the perfect signing. He did go to Immortals already, though. Do you look to import here?
I mean, why not?
I just can't think of that many. I mean, Lyra's available, I guess. He just got dropped from Dignitas, or he left Dignitas. Lyra hasn't really fit that bill a ton either.
Yeah, and that's why I went back to saying, like, there's really not many junglers out there that can fit what TSM is looking for. To be completely honest, I think TSM is going to continue to struggle domestically, and if they somehow qualify for an international tournament or anything, they're still going to struggle there just because they play around Bjergsen, you know, and rightfully so, but Bjergsen is such an interesting mid laner in the way he handles the team, the way he communicates, that you're really going to have a hard time finding players that are going to compliment him. So really, it almost feels like it's a lost cause when it comes to jungler, because it feels like no matter who you stick in there, it's just not going to work out with Bjergsen.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. He's definitely a big personality. We heard it before when Double Lift was there. We heard it when Yellow Star was there. Certain players get along with him very well. Other players, at least in game, seem to have issues with him. I think that's your biggest issue, though, overall, is finding someone that Bjergsen clicks with. We've seen it happen in the past. I think Santorin was a good jungler for them for quite a while. They've had some other ones here and there. But when you go from that playmaking jungler, that Mike Young style, it just has not worked out for TSM. They need to go supportive. They need to find a good jungle. Again, I don't have the biggest issues with Grig or Acadian. I think they could fit the bill. The problem that I have with TSM is that they flip them out so many times. It was like Grig this week, then Acadian, then Spica. And it's like, okay, so every jungler gets to play. That's nice. We're giving everyone playtime and participation trophies, but there's no synergy being built. There's no team synergy, no constant communication from that jungle position, which is so vital when it comes to communication. This is the person who has the easiest ability to look at the minimap constantly. This is the person who constantly makes those moves to gank lanes and get players ahead. If you're not having someone consistently in that role, how do you expect to improve communication in that position? That's my biggest issue with TSM. I want to see a jungle change. I would love to see a top change as well. I think someone like a Bwipo from Fnatic would be a really good move if TSM really wanted to splash some cash. I think he would fit in really well in this team. Again, that could be more issues because of the strong personalities from him and Bjergsen. At the same point, I think they really need someone highly mechanical up top as well.
I completely forgot what I was going to say, but I agree with you, Joey. I had a point. I should have written it down, but I'm blanking on it.
Oh, Chad has a good point too. Rainover would have been interesting.
Yeah, is Rainover really still interesting? Is he still playing, or did he retire?
I think at this point he's coaching only, and I want to say it's with C9 even.
Oh, well, they're going to need it.
But something of that style. I think Chad is in the right position. It's that supportive jungle style. Someone that can come in there, sacrifice his own farm to get other lanes ahead. Something like a Broxah, a Rainover, someone like an Xsmithie. Anyone in that style, I think, really would suit this TSM lineup. Want to jump on over to Team Liquid? Because we just hit Xsmithie. He's on his way to Immortals. Who does Team Liquid fill that spot with? But my one and only, my love of EU, it's Broxah, baby. Broxah is coming in with a smash. I think he's a good fit. So there's a lot of mixed reviews on Broxah for Team Liquid. Some people are like, okay, we made a side grade and used an import slot to do it, which I get. I think it's there. At the same point, if I look at ceilings, I think Broxah's ceiling is a bit higher. I want to say he's a younger player. I want to say the experience he has at Worlds is going to add in. Xsmithie has a lot of experience, but when it comes to making deep runs in tournaments, I feel like factually known, Team Liquid has not run as far as someone like a Fnatic. Broxah worked his way up from Academy. He played on the Fnatic main team. He's gone to semifinals at Worlds. He made it all the way to finals. Yeah, he got 3-0'd, but hey, he was there. Then he did decently well in this Worlds. He had a great group stage run. And Brox is one of the nicest people to be around as well. Teammates love being around Brox, except apparently if you go with the rumor, some teammates on Fnatic did not because of in-game situations. But the guy is great for social content. The guy is great in-game. And he is one of those junglers that would have fit that TSM style. He's very selfless, and I think that's going to fit Team Liquid very well. I really don't think this is a huge improvement over X-Mithy, if you're asking me honestly. I think it might be a little bump up, but other than that, I really don't see much changing with this roster.
Yeah, so I agree. I think one of the biggest criticisms we had of I almost said TSM, of Team Liquid last year was just how X-Mithy felt like he was the weakest link when you compare, you know, to Jensen, Impact, Doublelift, Core, JJ. I mean, these are massive names. You know, so X-Mithy, who is still mechanically a good player, is going to look like he's the weakest link. And, you know, bringing Brox in, I do think it's a lateral move. But I think the one element Brox brings in is that experience in the international scene. Like you said, Joe, you know, he was on the Fnatic team that went to the finals last year. He's been very successful on Fnatic. He has a strong work ethic. Like you said, he worked his way all the way up from Academy into the LEC. So he has that motivation. He has that drive. He knows what it takes to play on a high level. He went on an amazing run with Fnatic all the way into the finals. He is a good player. He knows what he needs. So what he needs to do to be successful, you team him up with a former world champion at Impact, a former world champion in Core JJ, easily a top three mid laner like Jensen, and arguably one of the best, if not the best AD carry in North America in Doublelift, who's kind of struggled a little bit in international competition. You have so much experience in the international scene now. Team Liquid does well domestically, and that no one's going to deny that. It's international that they struggle. That's what this roster was built for. I feel like bringing Brox in, he has that international experience. He knows what to do, having been on successful teams in the past with Fnatic. I feel like that's going to be the wild card that he brings in for Team Liquid. I like the move. I am going to give it a slight bump up over X-Mithy just because of that experience he brings in.
People are going to hate me for this, but I'm actually going to say that Jensen is now the weakest link on this roster. I mean, when you look at Jensen when he was with Cloud9, he was a consistent performer. He got shit done. He was so good. I mean, Jensen was amazing. He just continued to dominate lane. He continued to play so consistently. Since going to Team Liquid, there's been so many issues. Like, he has those great games, but he feels almost like caps. He's now one of those players that has very high ceiling games, but also very low floor games. And he's been dominated over and over, especially when it comes to the international level. Again, I think with this roster, if Jensen's playing on key, they will do incredibly well. But with Jensen, if he does not keep up consistently, even with Broxa giving him the opportunities to get ahead, even with the supports roaming like Core JJ does, that to me is the biggest weakness for Liquid between that and team communication and egos. You have someone like Impact and Broxa who have no ego at all, practically, it feels like. Then on the other side of the map, Jensen comes with an ego. He's had it before. He was a toxic player before. He's reformed, but there's still an ego there. And Doublelift, I think, has the biggest ego in the bot lane. It covers ADC and support alone. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, Team Liquid's roster on paper is extremely talented. But depending on the team communication that comes out of this, and especially with your import slots now taken up, there's still a lot of question marks. And the other big complaint they're getting, John, is that this roster is practically no more NA players. It's Doublelift, and that's it.
Yeah, it's all part of Steve's plan to go full EU or, you know, LCK or anyone that's not North America. And, I mean, look, he's taken advantage of the import rule. He's taken advantage of players that have earned residency in Jensen and Impact. So it makes sense. Like, you know, people complain about, I think, TSM was very vocal about it last year about bringing in, importing Korean players, which it's like, look, you know, why not? Like, you're trying to be the best in your region. You're trying to make noise in your region. You're trying to make noise into the international scene. You're trying to win worlds. Like, that's ultimately the goal for most competitors in this scene, is they want a world championship. So why not bring in a great player, even if they're not NA? Now, you can make the argument, you know, well, you need to support, like, you know, your own region. You need to help build up the talent in your region and so on and so forth. And I do agree with that. But if you have that win now mentality, you're not going to win now by developing, you know, players for 3-4 years down the road, because you want to win now. I think it's a good move, but I can understand the criticism. And I do agree that Jensen may be the weakest link now on this team just because of all the power here. But I'm going to also bring Impact in as well. Jensen and Impact both can be very streaky players at time. Impact has his games where, like, you say, you're like, okay, cool, awesome. This is the former world champion Impact, you know, playing at his peak level. And then there's other times, you know, it's like you're watching him play and you're like, dude, you're being dominated by an academy player that's filling in for someone who's sick right now. Like, what in the world are you doing? Same thing with Jensen is he's very bang or bust. Like, we talk about Caps on G2 about how he tries to all in a lot. He has a lot of risky maneuvers, and a lot of times they pay off. Sometimes they don't, but a lot of times his risky maneuvers pay off. Jensen, if he's going to be risky, he's going to be risky all game, and it's either going to be like a 12-0 and 15 game, or it's going to be a 1-12 and 2 game. It's something that both players are really going to need to work on. I feel like having Broxah in jungle is really going to help both of them out in that case. But I think Impact and Jensen are going to be the two biggest wild cards for Team Liquid going into this split.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And like I said, I still agree, and I think you do as well from the sound of things. Jensen is probably the weakest player. But again, with him being the weakest player, they still have a very high ceiling. This team can still get things done. They're extremely talented. And to me, if you look at the whole import versus export thing, I think the reason NA continues to fail is because the academy system is not taken seriously. When you look at a lot of these teams, and credit to that flag in your background, I think Cloud9 is the only one who's really utilized their academy system that well in the last couple of years. You've had so many talents come up. I mean, Contracts came up from there. Blabber came up from there. Licorice came up from there. Smoothie, I think, might have come up from there, if I remember correctly. Like, there's just so many talented players that C9 has really farmed up from their academy team. When you look at Europe, you have the same thing. I mean, Rogue this past year had Finn come out of there. Larson came out of there. Fnatic is another one. They had Dan. They had Broxah. They had Bwipo. I mean, there are just so many talented players out there that can be run through academy systems. And when you look at NA versus Europe, LCS versus LEC, Europe has just killed it in the academy area. They continue to bring up these new players. They find them through great scouting, and then they give them the opportunities to play in the LEC. And that's been a huge, huge bump when you look at international competition. Because one, Europe is playing a lot younger. And two, NA is settling for Europe's aging players. I mean, Soaz is now back there as well. Extremely talented, but again, he's aging. They just paid Huni way too much money, if you ask me. I mean, there's just so many moves. Like Team Liquid, I think Broxah is a great pickup. He's still young. He's very talented. I can't imagine what they paid to get him. But at the same point, I think it's good to invest in your academy system. And I love to see teams like C9 actually doing that.
Now, I want to touch on this. Chat brings up a great point. If Team Liquid won Worlds with this roster, do you think NA would get that respect with only having that one NA player on it? And I think that's a valid question. You know, when you talk to a lot of NA fans, it's the one thing they want. They want that validation that NA is a legitimate region. You know, EU has been doing well in League and in other titles, and North America kind of a little bit on the struggle bus. So would North America get that recognition, that respect, if this Team Liquid team with this roster won? And the one wild card before you answer that, Joey, is when you take a look at the Chinese League teams, they import a lot of Koreans, and there really isn't that big of a question either with when it comes to respect to the Chinese teams in League of Legends, even though they may have, you know, two or you know, more Koreans on that roster. You know, I believe they say have the same residency rules. It still has to be two Koreans on there, only two imports on there. But in that sense, if a team had three Koreans, let's say, on the roster, one was a sub and they were rotating in and out, they had that, you know, kind of like what we saw a couple years ago with teams in Asia doing that, essentially having roster A and roster B flipping in back and forth, depending upon what game in the series it was. You know, with that being the wild card, would NA get respect with this roster, even though there's only technically one NA player on it?
Yeah, they definitely get the respect, but they also get memed real hard for it. I mean, people are going to call them out. They're going to say, you have four international players. Yeah, only two count as import slots. But hey, these guys made their name for themselves in other leagues. But when you look at Team Liquid, if they do go on to win the World Championship, I think you give them credit because they spent the whole year in the LCS. They got their playing against LCS teams. The other counter argument here is the fact that the LCS teams are considered so much weaker than LEC teams, than LCK teams, LMS, all these other regions. But when you look at it, if they were able to make their way through spring, make their way through summer against these weaker teams, and then still find the power to take down all these more powerful regions in everyone's mind, I think you still 100% give them credit for it. Ready to go, Immortal?
Let's go.
Let's do it, baby. SOAZ, rumored to come in as the new top laner for Immortals. They also picked up Xsmithy, rated as the number one NA jungler right now. They have Alltech and Hakuo. To my knowledge, there is no mid lane spot that is or has been filled for Immortals yet. They did end up trading Crown, so he is going outward. I think PoE might be available at this point because Crown did go to the team that formerly had PoE, which was Optic. And which one are they now? Is that Evil Geniuses that took the Optic spot?
I believe so, yes.
Thanks, chat, for fact-checking that in advance. I'm pretty sure Optic was bought out by Evil Geniuses. So Crown is going that way. Immortals' mid lane spot opens up. This is going to be the key to fill. I think PoE is a decent pickup here. I think Fevivin could be another decent pickup. Personally, I'd like to see them go young here. I think with a veteran like Xsmithy, who does a very good job of supporting lanes, with another veteran like SOAZ, you don't want your team to be too old. Alltech on the younger side, Hakuo on the younger side. Give me another young mid. I want someone that's going to be the next Caps of NA. I want someone who's going to be extremely talented in mid that I can feed my resources and knowledge to. Give me a young mid laner here. I don't want a Froggen. I don't want someone who's aging. I want a young mid laner in for Immortals.
And of course, chat comes in clutch here. Evil Geniuses took Echo Fox's spot. Immortals was Optic.
Okay, so I was right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks, chat. So I want a young mid here, John. What do you want? Do you want any other changes? You want them to change up any other lanes?
I actually like this roster. I feel like it's... I feel like they're going to need the spring split to really kind of feel this roster out, but I actually like it for the reincarnation of Immortals. I like the Xsmithy pickup. I like SOAZ coming as the top laner. Alltech as the mid laner. I think that's a solid pickup as well.
ADC.
Pardon me, ADC. Thank you for the amazing catch. The ESPN's like all over the place. Like when we get to Golden Guardians, is who he actually the support based upon how they listed that? But we'll get it when we get there. So I actually like the roster. There's going to be a lot of question marks surrounding Immortals, but I do like Xsmithy, SOAZ, and Alltech on this roster. I feel like they're going to be able to put forth a solid effort going into the spring split.
I'd have to agree. I don't think there's much more to touch on there since they have made most of the roster announcements. I think we will see some good young academy players. Immortals is another one of those teams that really did a good job buying strong talent up front, but then buying younger talent to really use that veteran advice from their starters. I think we'll see the same thing with their new incarnation here. Just curious who that mid laner is. I hope they stay young with it. Let's hit on Golden Guardians because I know chat wants to hear about this one. There's a whole bunch going on here. So to my knowledge, Hanser is still there. I don't think he's moved. Contracts, I believe, is still there at this point as well. Golden Glue did get signed. He moved in from Cloud9's academy team. We have FBI there at ADC. And then, like you said, John, Huhi, now the support for Golden Guardians as well.
Yeah, that's his third position now. He went from jungle to mid lane, now to support. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Huhi's been more of a... I don't want to call him a one-trick player, but he's generally known for his ability to play incredibly well on one or two champions in the game. A lot of people will point to his Aurelion Sol in mid lane. When Aurelion Sol came out, he was essentially the dragon daddy on the Rift. So it's going to be interesting to see him in this support role, supporting FBI. And I do believe chat, mainly Scorsel here, did say he's going to be switching in with Ole and everything too. Ole's still on the roster, I believe. So with FBI in the bot lane, I actually feel like this might be solid. The real question is going to be, how is Golden Glue going to do with being the main mid laner on this team? He's had issues before playing on the big stage as the main mid laner for a team. His entire league career has been kind of a roller coaster. Cloud9 really took him under their wing and kind of helped shape him into the new player he's become. I feel like this is going to be a great opportunity to prove and to show what version of Golden Glue we're going to see going forward for Golden Guardians. And I feel like he's set up for success here. You have contracts, like you said, a player that came up through Cloud9's academy system, a player that really came out of nowhere, someone that, you know, really the fans love, regardless of what team you cheer for. A lot of people just love Contracts, his personality, his play style. I'm a big fan of Contracts also. I feel like that's going to go to support Golden Glue pretty well. And Hanser, Hanser's still a good top laner. He had an amazing career with TSM. Obviously now with Golden Guardians, he's doing well still. Easily in the conversation for a top five top laner in North America. You can make that argument. But I actually like this roster. I have a lot of good feelings about this Golden Guardians roster. I feel like they're going to be able to make a statement this spring split and possibly this entire year if this is the finalized roster for them going into spring.
Yeah, there's still a lot of question marks out here. A few rumors out there. Hanser is rumored to possibly be going to another team. Contracts is actually linked with TSM. Is there a potential jungle player? Froggen is rumored to not want to have any competition for mid lane and maybe moving on as well. Palafox, their mid that was in the academy side, got moved to Cloud9. So there's a few different shifts that could still happen in here. The roster looks very packed right now. The players signed to 2021. They have Hard signed to 2021 in jungle, and they have FBI signed to 2021 in ADC. So a few long-term contracts in there, but for the most part, everyone's under a one-year contract, it looks like, on their contract database. So a lot of question marks still, depending on if trades get done. But if you look at the roster right now, I do think this roster has potential, and I think it is playoff worthy.
If I'm a Golden Guardians fan, I am praying to the Golden Guardians gods that this roster is finalized. I think losing Hanser and Contracts, I don't see too many free agents or trades happening that are going to bring in immediate quality like Hanser or Contracts. I mean, if they make these trades, they're going to do it for young players that are maybe still trying to prove themselves. I don't see a veteran coming in with these trades. But again, if this roster is final and you're a Guardians fan, I'd be pretty happy with this.
Let's fly our way over to FlyQuest then. Based on the contract database, I have Viper, Santorin, Pobelter, Wild Turtle, and JJ at support. I want to say they just picked up a new support from Europe, though, if I remember correctly.
Ignar.
Ignar coming over. I love Ignar. I'm a Ignar fanboy. he looked really good when he played with Hansama on Misfits. Then from there, he ended up going back to South Korea because there were some... It was really a communication issue. Misfits was waiting on him. He was waiting on Misfits. There ended up being the standstill because no one asked for the other's attention. And then a contract was never signed. So he ended up signing, I think it was with Barbecue or BBQ or whatever the heck their name was over in South Korea. So he played in the LCK for a while. Then he came back. He didn't really find a ton of success in the LEC. Now he's going overseas to NA, getting that nice paycheck. And I think this is a really good move. I think he's going to land on FlyQuest and do well. FlyQuest is one of those teams where they kind of came out a little shifty. Their logo wasn't quite there. Their team wasn't quite there. Now they have a new clean logo. The team is starting to come together. Honestly, I think Santorin is a very low-key good jungler. I don't think he's the best jungle out there. I think he got a bad rap when he was on NRG, and because of that, he hasn't really seen the acclaim that he did previously. Now with this FlyQuest team, though, I think he's going to do really well. Pobelter, not the greatest mid laner, but he's consistent. When you look at this roster overall, everything but Wild Turtle, I think you can look and say very consistent. They're not going to be the greatest. They're not going to be the worst. When you look at Wild Turtle, he's going to be the difference maker. What can Wild Turtle in this bot lane do with Ignar? Because they can be extremely explosive. Wild Turtle loves to go in, and it's almost like a 50-50 whether he dies or gets a triple kill. So depending how the bot lane plays out, they're really going to be how this roster plays through. Top, mid, and jungle are going to be extremely consistent. They're not going to get crazy good leads. They're not going to give away big leads either. It's all going to come through the bot lane. If the bot lane dominates, this team wins. If the bot lane goes even, this game is going to get real ugly and could be a clown fiesta. If they lose hard, the whole team loses hard. So for me, this whole roster plays through the bot lane.
Yeah, I feel like I get it. I'm one of Santorin's critics also. Santorin has the potential for a bounce back year. He has a talent. He has the skills to do it. I would definitely keep an eye on Santorin. I'm not wild about Pobelter. He is a very average mid laner in comparison to the rest of the LCS. And Wild Turtle, I mean, his name describes everything. It is wild. You don't know what version he's going to get. He's essentially been a fill-in or a placeholder for a new ADC for several other organizations. He just really hasn't had what he needs to be that elite ADC to really help that team go forward into the playoffs, whether it's an MSI or whether it's a split final or playoffs. It's just I don't see it with Wild Turtle anymore. There's a lot of question marks on, do these players have the ability to keep up with the rest of the league? The rest of the league looks like, a lot of teams are going younger. They're bringing in imports. And here we see, essentially, for lack of better terms, recycled players that have bounced around from organization to organization. In traditional sports, I believe the terminology is journeyman. And that's what FlyQuest has right now. They have a bunch of journeymen. I do like the Ignar support pickup. I think that's very solid. But there's going to be a lot of questions, I think, with Santorin, Pobelter, and Wild Turtle. I do think Wild Turtle is going to be the biggest wild card, but you cannot ignore Pobelter and Santorin. You need to see a lot come out of those two players to really overshadow the inconsistencies of Wild Turtle.
Right. I think this roster's playoff ready, though, to be honest. I think your consistency up top is going to be enough to get this team to playoffs. And I think with Ignar down there for bot lane, he's going to rein Turtle in a bit. But at the same time, he's very good at engaging, and he could be really the engagement that Turtle needs in those bot lane skirmishes and those 2v2s to really come out ahead. So I really like this roster. I think I don't want to give them top three, but I think they will end in that 5-6 spot and be able to make playoffs quite a bit.
I think they sneak into playoffs as the last seed. And I think they're bounced pretty early if they, depending upon how some of these other teams' rosters play out, I'm actually not as sold on them. Sorry, Joey.
Well, keep in mind with Viper, though. Viper has dominated the top lane. He hasn't been the best out there, but he's been pretty darn good the last couple years. And I think, again, consistency is what I really like here, but I think his ceiling is a little higher than people have given him credit for. Mm. He proved it last year. I think he proves it again this year. So I would not sleep on this FlyQuest roster. They're on a quest, and they could be flying.
I'm going to take a nap, but I won't be fully asleep.
Well, maybe when we get to Cloud9, we'll wake you up with all those transfers.
No, I'd rather not.
Evil Geniuses, speaking of Cloud9, this one came through the Academy system. Zazel, him and his beard made their way all the way to the main lineup and then made their way all the way to a new team with Evil Geniuses. Sven Skaren making his way from TSM to Cloud9, doing a great job there. I believe he had a split MVP, and now he is moving over to Evil Geniuses as well. And then you have Bang. This one just got announced today. Bang moving from 100 Thieves, previous star 80 carry of SK Telecom T1, did extremely well in LCK for year upon year. Then he came over and he seemed to just sink when he got to 100 Thieves. Now he gets new life in the NA, moving over to Evil Geniuses. I really like this move by them. I think we see Bang. He's still toward the end of his career, but I think we do see a slight resurgence coming this year with this lineup so far.
I actually like this roster so far. I think Evil Geniuses, if they can round out this roster, I feel like they could easily be a playoff team. And I feel like they could really come under the radar to a lot of LCS fans. I think Sven Skaren has had kind of a rebirth after he left TSM. Cloud9 really helped him out quite a bit. Zyzel, again, another Academy success story. It's been great watching him grow on Cloud9 after he won that starting spot. Cloud9 felt so comfortable. They traded Smoothie away. So I think that's a pretty big compliment if you're Zyzel. And now you're on Evil Geniuses, and you get to play with Bang. That's pretty freaking awesome, in my opinion. So it'd be kind of interesting to see who they round out with mid lane and top. But so far, so good. I like this roster as it is so far.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good overall, and some other things to keep in mind. So they did also pull a few more C9 players. It's believed that they pulled Kumo from the Academy team, the top laner, who showed some promise last year, as well as Deathly from the ADC role. So them both coming over, I think definitely has a lot of talent, and I think practicing and learning under Bang is going to be huge for this team moving forward. On top of that, I don't think Kumo is going to be the starter, but I think as a young player, he shows a lot of promise, and again, he's going to be one of those people. They can pull in a veteran, they can pull in a mediocre player, have Kumo still continue to learn, and then bump him up to the main lineup later down the road if they want to. So I really like Evil Geniuses. They're an organization that's done extremely well in multiple esport titles. Really, Dota 2 has been one that they've absolutely killed it at in recent years. That being a MOBA, you hope to see some of that MOBA translate over here. I want to say EG was in the LCS like maybe 3-4 years ago, maybe 5 even. But they've been here before. They've known how to get things done. Now they're back. Now they're really hungry, though, bringing that MOBA experience from Dota as well. Team Dignitas, they have signed Huni to all 5 roles. Hopefully it goes well for them.
And the sad part is Huni alone is literally the salary of all the 4 other players combined.
That Hooney thing, that honestly has blown free agency up this year. And supposedly he negotiated his contract by himself. He didn't even have an agent. So he negotiated himself into like a $2.3, $2.5 million contract, is what it's rumored. And then everyone ended up raising their rates. So he's jacked LCK all over the place. NA is all over the place salary-wise now because of it. So Hooney sole-handedly did extremely well in the EU LCS at the time, then the NA LCS, then over in the LCK, and then he came back and said, I've done so well with all these championships. Why don't we just jack the whole economy up and blow up salaries? So he's bringing in crazy money now. Honestly, I think this is going to be bad for the scene in the near term because I think some teams are going to have to drop out trying to meet these salary requirements. I think it's going to be an ugly couple years depending how these salaries break out. I think eventually we'll get to those salary levels, but at least now I don't think the return is there. And I think it's going to hurt Dignitas a little bit in the long run as well as the league. But on top of that, they did lose Vulcan, their star support. It's believed that Cody Sun is still there, at least at the moment. He signed through 2020. I don't know if he stays. There's rumors that he might be going. But as of right now, I believe they have Hooney and Cody Sun on their roster. I don't think they have anyone else, but let me just double check.
While you're checking, I just want to point out real quick that Hooney has officially locked in his post-league career as a player agent for esport athletes. If he actually negotiated his own contract and got $2.3 million, that is a very impressive storyline in the world of esports. That is an absolutely absurd amount of money. Now, a lot of players can make upwards of $1 million, but that's mainly based upon, you know, team salaries, sponsorships, stream donations, and a lot of other sponsorships that get tossed in there as well. But very rarely do we see players where their salary is in the millions of dollars. I mean, that is really impressive if he did do that by himself. And yes, if he's going to retire, he needs to become a player agent. That is incredible negotiating skills if he actually pulled that off.
Chat does not believe that he negotiated himself. Yes. I'm just going off of reports that I've seen from ESPN Esports. I believe it was Fion and Jacob saying that he negotiated himself. So I believe anything that comes out of the wolf's mouth when it comes to Jacob Wolf. I feel like it's just gospel at this point. So I want to say he actually did. So with that being said, John, so we have Hooney in top lane. It feels like they paid him enough to play all those five starting positions. But let's say we have Hooney and let's just assume they re-sign Cody Sun or they keep his contract intact. That leaves a whole lot to be filled. You have jungle there, you have mid there, and you have bot or AD support. Excuse me, I'm all over the place. Hooney, I believe, is still counted as an import. I'm not 100% sure on that, but because he went to LCK, I think Hooney is still an import. So really, you have one import slot already gone, and you have to fill jungle, mid, and support still. Who are you looking at here?
This is where NA's inability to take Academy seriously is really going to come back to bite people in the rear end. Because unless you make some major trades with, I don't know what you would trade with, part of Hooney's salary, who are you going to bring in? You know, if you haven't been scouting the Academy scene, if you haven't been paying attention to maybe, you know, free agents that, you know, maybe are on the way out of the game. You know, they've been in the game for so long and now, you know, organizations don't want them. Their skills have declined a little bit. You can't look internationally because you only can bring one player in. If Cody Sun does stay, you still have two other players that you need. So is Dignitas paying attention to the Academy scene? If not, you're going to need to do a quick crash course. Because they have a massive hole in that roster. And to be completely honest, I really don't know who they would bring in to really complement Hooney and what he brings in the top lane. I mean, what player is out there that you can really build around Hooney with in any position?
I honestly don't get what they're doing. They got rid of Lyra. I'm totally okay with that. Demonte, I think, was very marketable. I'm kind of surprised to see him go. Again, not the best mechanical player until it's Tanner time every once in a while. But when you look at it overall, he's not the greatest player. I think Hooney and Cody Sun are the most talented. But then Vulcan was a very talented support as well. Arguably one of the reasons they did as well as they did at Worlds. Yeah, they had a terrible record. But when you look at the games and where they were able to compete within the games themselves, a lot of that was Vulcan's doing. So when I look at this roster, I'm thinking if you're making these moves, you're either going to invest heavily in Academy, which doesn't really make sense now that you paid Hooney as much as you did. You paid Hooney a let's win now salary. So I almost think you go importing here But even if you import, Hooney already takes up a slot. So you can bring in one player. And maybe you bring in someone good from Europe or someone good from LCK. But then still, that leaves so many holes in this lineup. I don't really understand what Dignitas is doing here. I feel like if they go academy players, they just made the bad, bad move with the salary move for Hooney. But if you go imports, you're going to get hit by the Hooney block there as well. So I don't know. I like Hooney. I think Hooney's a great player. I think he opens up a lot of play styles. But in signing him that much and taking up an import slot, it's really tough to see how they're going to build the rest of this roster out. Anything else for Dig before we dig them a new grave?
No, I mean, you're going to see a lot of new players, I feel like, on this roster because of Hooney's, you know, paycheck that he negotiated, apparently. You're going to see a lot of new, young, unproven players. So it's going to be great for the scene that we're going to see new players come in. That's what I'm leaning towards in this situation for Dignitas. But at the same time, I feel like Hooney might get a little frustrated with the inexperience that they are probably going to bring in.
Okay, let's work our way to CLG then. We got three more NA teams to get through tonight. CLG, John, we have Rune. We have Wiggly. We have now Crown coming over from Immortals. We have 6A, and then we have, I believe it's Smoothie filling out that final role with Biofrost going to TSM and Smoothie coming over. I really like the CLG roster. Wiggly is my biggest question mark. I think Rune has proved himself a few times now. 6A, a pretty decent AD carry. Smoothie has proven himself as well. Crown is a question mark for me. I never thought Crown was that great, if I'm being completely honest. I think he's good at being consistent, and he's good at not losing, but he's not good at winning. In my opinion, even when I watched him win a world championship, I think the only reason he did as well as he did was because he was on Malzahar, and he could point and click his ultimate when he needed to. Crown, to me, is not an award-winning player. Him and Wiggly are my biggest question marks. Wiggly, a lot of people praise his talent. I still have question marks in that area as well.
No, I agree with you. Wiggly, again, another C9 Academy product, kind of bounced around there a little bit. He essentially, you know, lost out to I believe, Blabber, right? Yeah.
I mean, contracts, Blabber, I feel like everyone's been passed up for him.
And it's not really a knock on Wiggly. Like, his biggest thing wasn't exactly his ability to play the game. It mainly came late game where he kind of fell off. So Wiggly, I agree with you, it is a question mark. Crown is the other question mark. But other than that, I really do like this Counter Logic team. If Crown can play those click and kill champions like Malzahar, you know, again, depending upon how the meta does play out, you know, there's a lot of rumors that the game's going to have a massive change in the offseason again, kind of like they do every year. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to affect the game, because that really will, you know, change the landscape of how this game's being played. If those point and click champions get nerfed, if the game kind of just changes away from all of that, and, you know, we see the entire you know, macro and micro versions of this game just completely change, then, you know, a somewhat standard average player like a Crown could all of a sudden pop off again. So, again, that's the biggest thing with this game, is it is very meta heavy based on what Riot does with these changes. So I don't want to count them out just yet, but with a solid roster that they have, those two players, Wiggly and Crown, have to be, you know, those players with the asterisks next to them as the biggest wild cards. But other than that, I do like the CLG roster. And I feel like they could possibly make a lot of noise early with the spring split starting.
Right. And I like the fact that they've already locked in their roster and announced it as well for the most part. I mean, this is going to be their starting five most likely. Now people can start following them. They can start building that synergy up early. I think that's what CLG needs more than anything. 6A and Smoothie in the bot lane is a very strong bot lane. I'd argue they're top three, maybe top five at least, as far as NA goes. Rune is still a young player. There's still room to improve. Wiggly, I just want to see really sync with the team. Now that he has Crown there, how can he build that synergy? Crown is not going to be your biggest carry player. He never has been. I think Crown does roam well, though, and I could see him pairing up with Wiggly well for some top lane roams, some bot lane roams. I think there's a lot of possibilities there as well. So on paper, this roster looks good. It's not going to be anyone's top roster, but I think it has that potential to start pushing ceilings, maybe toward a top three, depending how they all synergize together. Let's skip over Cloud9 on my list and go to 100 Thieves. We'll come back to Cloud9 last but not least.
Thank you for 100
Thieves,
me.
There's a few different things going on here. Let me see. So we have Someday, I believe, is still up in the top lane. I don't think that's moved. Let me pull up what ESPN has just to make sure.
They have Someday, Amazing, Ryu, and Aframu.
Okay, so Aframu is going to go.
Yeah.
There's no way I see him staying. Zix is also their new head coach coming over from TSM. So I like them re-signing Amazing. I think it was Papa Smithy who posted the win rate. Their win rate is like 20 to 25% higher with Amazing compared to without Amazing. Again, I don't think he's that amazing. I think he's an aging jungler. At the same point, he's gotten the job done multiple times. When he comes out, he's pretty decent. I think Amazing has the veteran knowledge to help a younger team get going. I want to see 100 Thieves make younger changes more than anything. I want to see them come in, bring in some young talent, bring in some new talent, and I hope that's what we see them do here in the offseason.
I feel like they will have to. I feel like, again, with a lot of the big name wild card free agency players out there that have already been signed, I feel like 100 Thieves is also going to be forced to go young and inexperienced, which again is going to be good for the scene, but for 100 Thieves fans, you know, you may need to be a little patient with them as they kind of feel things out. But you know, Someday, Amazing, Ryu, I feel like those are a solid core. If Aframu stays, I feel like you can't count him out. I mean, he played incredibly well. He's played with a lot of different ADCs and different styles and has been able to adapt. I mean, he may not be numbers wise one of the best support players anymore when you take a look at KDA or I really don't like bringing Gold up for support because supports always get screwed over.
How about Vision Score?
Vision Score is another great one. You know, is he still going to be able to roam based upon what the meta brings? Is he going to be able to have roaming supports? You know, and when I think Aframu, I don't necessarily think a player that, you know, I mean, he has great vision score compared to me, but, you know, I feel like there's other supports out there. When you think vision score, you don't automatically think of Aframu anymore. But again, he's not bad, but I don't know. I feel like they could do better. But again, who would you put in here that hasn't already been locked up? You'd have to make a trade. You'd have to bring someone in, or you go young, or you tap into the academy system. And again, how serious have these organizations been taking the academy system other than Cloud9?
Right. And ESPN actually has not updated some of their stuff. Yeah. I believe Amazing is still there. I think he's going to sign somewhere else. But they did bring in Meteos, and that stat I mentioned earlier was attached to Meteos.
That's right, they did.
Yeah, so they're a little behind on updating a few of these things, it looks like. But overall, I think 100 Thieves is going to have a very big new-look roster. Obviously, a lot of it revolved around that bot lane with Aframu and Bang last year. Bang no longer being there, I think this roster is going to get completely redone. I still think Someday is amazing. I hate the way that coaches use Someday, and it really bothers me. I want to see him on more carry champions. Every time I've tweeted at a coach and they've said, okay, we'll try him this week, he goes on a carry champion and he destroys people. Like, give Someday more carry champions. You have such a talented player, one of the best top laners coming over from South Korea in the LCK a couple years ago. He's still talented. He might not be the player he once was, but give the man a chance. Let him be another carry for you. It's just, if I see him on one more tank, I swear I'm going to flip. It just drives me crazy. This 100 Thieves squad is one of those teams that has really, really bothered me watching a couple years ago. I think Papa Smithy coming in is going to make the seasons moving forward much cleaner. Bringing that analyst perspective, I think, is really going to help this squad out quite a bit.
I, for one, would love to see Joey do a flip.
I'm rooting
for some tank play.
Have this so talented player, and let's just put him on a tank. Like, he can play tanks well, but you're just losing so much potential putting him on something like that. Just... But Joey, not using your roster to the full potential.
But Joey, 100 Thieves is more than just an esport organization. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, and apparently it needs some improvement on the League of Legends scene. Heyo, Cloud9.
Let's just end it there. That does it for the Level Up podcast. If you enjoy listening, you probably didn't listen to this next part.
Okay, I like Cloud9's roster. I think it's great. I mean, Licorice is the Twizzler. He's not the Red Vine. He's amazing. He's great up in top lane. He's a young, talented player, top three, if not top two, top one in that top lane position. Blabber, I think, has room to improve, but I think studying under Svenskeren, being there, I think he was in competition with Contracts at 1.2, if I remember correctly. I think Blabber has a lot of potential. I think he's not there yet, but I think he can get there. Nisqy, another young player. He came from Fnatic's Academy team. He was the understudy to Caps. I mean, this guy is extremely talented. He's played very well. He's learned under some of the best. And now he comes over. He had a good stint at Envy. He had a good stint at Splice. He's played for some of the best coaches in the world as far as the Western League of Legends scene goes. Niski is ready to continue to keep getting stronger as a mid laner. I think Cloud9 invested well there. Zven retired when he came to NA, it felt like. He didn't really do anything over here. He broke up with Mythi since then. I say broke up, I just mean the bot lane duo they had going on. I think he's talented. When he was Niels, and maybe it was the move to TSM, maybe it was the name change, but when he was on Origin, watching him and Reckless go at it in games was just absolutely amazing. It was like Reckless, the up-and-coming, or really the almost veteran who's extremely talented, versus Niels, this rookie that he found for another team. I mean, Zven is so extremely talented, but it's just been so dormant the last couple of years. Moving to Cloud9, I hope we unlock that talent again. I hope he comes and reemerges. Vulcan, if you look at low-end, or not low-end, but really new supports, who are these supports that are trying to make a name for themselves? Zyzel, obviously being one of them. Cloud9 said, hey, we're going to move on for you for the next best thing. I think Vulcan swoops in here. He's going to be very talented hooking up with Zven. I think this Cloud9 roster has a lot more potential than people are giving it credit for. I think it does rely on some young players like Niski, Vulcan, and Blabber continuing to increase their really presence on the Rift. I think Licorice has already found his spot. And then Zven finding his veteran presence and being able to pull that back out from what seems to have been dormant the last couple seasons. Cloud9 to me is a top two contender if they put everything together.
I do like the Vulcan pickup. I think he's coming off a very successful rookie campaign. Here's my concern. I like Blabber. I really do. But that's going to be the biggest question mark. I have faith in Zven. I have faith in Niski. He proved me wrong last year. I have faith in Licorice. That's not the issue. It's going to be weird not seeing Sneaky on the team anymore, just like it was weird when Meteos left, High left, Balls left. When Lemon Nation left. I mean, when all the originals left, it was weird. And this is the final original in Sneaky leaving Cloud9. So it's weird. Cloud9 player fans tend to overreact, myself included. I'm okay with Vulcan. I'm okay with Sven. Blabber is the one, even though he's been with the organization longer than a lot of these other players have been. He's come up through the academy system. He is very bang or bust. And it's something we've said a lot this episode, but this bang or bust is really right now his ceiling, from what Cloud9 fans and LCS fans have seen, his ceiling really still isn't a top five jungler. He's still a middle of the pack jungler on his good days. When he hesitates, when he has doubt, when he isn't able to communicate, he plays incredibly poorly and makes incredibly bad decisions in the early game that really sets the team behind. So when he makes those risks, they're very, very costly risks. It's not like, you know, oh, you know, it was a, you know, 12-minute top lane gank that just went horribly wrong. It's more like, oh, he's 0-3 and it's 4 minutes into the game already because he made a stupid play to invade red buff, or made a stupid play, you know, to do like a level 2 gank that everyone saw coming and ended up being a double kill for the other team. So it's those decisions that I feel like have a lot of Cloud9 fans nervous. I mean, that's really the only thing I can put here. You know, Vulcan, I mean, again, a very successful rookie campaign. He did incredibly well at Worlds as well for his first time there. Team up with Sven, I think it's a strong bot lane. But again, Blabber and how Cloud9 utilizes their jungle, that has to be the wild card. If everything clicks, Joey, I agree with you, they're a top three team. But I feel like Spring Split is going to be that trial and error time frame for Cloud9 fans. And yes, we will all overreact throughout the entire Spring Split.
Absolutely. So I think we'll wrap it up with NA for today. We can do LEC later on. But one story that chat wants us to hit on before we go is the C9 stock issues.
Oh, God.
So C9 got fined recently. They did. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but they got fined a hefty amount because they were giving stock to players in exchange for actually paying them certain amounts. I'm totally fine with this. I get where they're coming from. I think stock can be valued that way, especially in esports with it being up and coming. And if players agreed to it, I think it's okay. The issue being that they did not cite this to the league somewhere. It sounds like it just missed hands, according to Cloud9. One person reviewed a document, the other did some moves, and nothing ended up getting discussed between the two of them. So the incorrect information was submitted to Riot. I think it's plausible. I could also see it being a lie for them trying to get around all these fines. When it comes down to it, I'm okay with the sock stuff. I don't think this is the reason we see players leave. I think we're seeing Zizel and Spence Guerin leave because they want a new opportunity and because EG opened up the paycheck book. They wanted to put some checks out there, and people want to get cashed out. They want money here and there. These players all agreed to the stock option, so I think it's all right in that sense. It should have been said to Riot. There should have been more communication on Cloud9's end, and they're going to pay a handsome penny for it. Sneaky. I do not think this is the reason Sneaky left. I think Sneaky left because of the benching. I think he's still sour over the benching between Reaperd and Jack or whoever ended up making that final decision. I believe it was Reaperd. When it came down to it, Sneaky did not feel comfortable with that. And then they went and got Sven in the offseason, giving him more competition. He came out and said on stream he does not want to compete for a spot. Sneaky wants a spot. He wants it to just be given to him in a sense. And he's a talented player, don't get me wrong. I think he's also aging. I think his mechanics have gotten a bit worse. I think he could prove me wrong on a new team next year. But at the same point, when I look at Sneaky and him coming out and saying he did not want to compete for a spot, that makes me nervous coming from a coaching slash analyst lens.
No, and I agree with you on the whole Sneaky side of that. There was a lot of bad blood after that happened in Cloud9, and it was very evident. The players were very open about it. And it felt like Sneaky checked out. It felt like a lot of times when you watched him play, he was just going through the motions. I mean, he's got a lot on his plate. He has a very successful cosplay career going on. I know, like, we meme about it every now and then, but, like, I mean, he's killing it. He's very good at what he does. His girlfriend helps him out quite a bit in that department as well. You know, it's something that he's passionate about, which is awesome. He loves streaming also. So if he doesn't go back to competitive league, he still has the streaming side of it. He still has the cosplay side of it. So I think he'll be fine either way. Now, you know, according to the Jacob Wolf article, I feel like the biggest issue with that stock option, and Joey, I do agree with you. I think stock is a decent way of compensating players as well. But according to the article, it wasn't the fact that they didn't disclose it. It's that apparently Riot has a rule that says no active player is allowed to own equity within a team, which then
jump in on that. So that was a later rule that came out later. So these stock options were established prior to that ruling. The issue was they asked everyone to disclose any stock options that were already given, and Cloud9 did not.
Okay.
You reading through just to make sure?
Yeah. I'm just going through because the other thing I was going to bring up was the fact that Bjergsen has the same kind of deal with TSM, but as I was going to say, I believe that was disclosed when that ruling did come out. So, yes. Thank you, Joey. You took the words out of my mouth.
Got you. So if we look at the amounts in general, I did pull it up on my little screenshots on my phone here. It was $175,000 that Cloud9 has to pay in fines. And additionally, every stock option they paid out has to be paid out in a monetary value now. So I don't have it in front of me, but I think the total comes somewhere around $600,000. So we're talking over $500,000 that's eventually going to have to be paid out by Cloud9. The RSUs, those stock options that were traded out, were given to Licorice, Blabber, Svensk Guerin, Sneaky, Zizel, Jensen, and Smoothie. A lot of money. But as you can tell from the players in the mention, these players have been around Cloud9 for a while. They've had long-term contracts. So you know for the most part that these stock options went out probably about 2 years ago when these contracts were signed. I can't tell if you're reading or if you're just a sad Cloud9 fan at this point.
No, I was just waiting to see if you would like to end the episode there.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm good to go. Unfortunately for Cloud9, they're going to have to pay some repercussions. But us at the Level Up Podcast, I think, can come to an end. We've pretty much touched on everything LCS this week for roster changes. We will update you guys on any new changes next week for the LCS, as also dive into other esports news and probably LEC a bit more as well. Close us out, baby.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from our listeners so much that we have other ways for you to interact with us and this show. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. Additionally, you can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. This podcast goes live Monday nights around 7 p.m. We also have other streamers throughout the week. Actually, stick around after this episode, live listeners, because we do have a streamer opening orbs on Fire Emblem Heroes for those that are interested. That is Ghost Runner from OTN coming up next.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online, and as always,
Level up.